Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9490 for today's show, sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. And this pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar, Hugh, now through December. It is awesome here. People are awesome. The food, atmosphere, everything.
Yes, it is. And I found out Zero is the dog. Somebody hit me up on Twitter and said it's the dog from Nightmare on Christmas.
That would go with the theme of some of the other drinks.
Yeah.
So that would obviously not be Zorro. That would be Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, Zorro never fit.
But that's, no, I did.
Yeah, how come you didn't wear your corrective frames?
You know what? Because I shout out to my optometrist.
Yep.
I need to go order my contacts. I just haven't. Yet.
Oh, you're slacking on that?
I've been busy.
Yeah, I get busy. You're a busy guy. All right, the Eagles are busy trying to get ready for another game this Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Joining us right now to talk about everything involving the Philadelphia Eagles, which means drama. That would be Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seed. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, Eagles win, and there's drama around it. What else is new? How you doing today?
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm a fan of reality TV, because it certainly feels like I'm covering a reality TV show sometimes.
Yeah, you cover the right team for that. All right, Elliott, yeah. Your reaction, and we're going to play here in a second part of the press conference you were just at with Nick Sirianni. We're going to play part of the answer he had when being peppered with questions about the latest with AJ. What was your reaction to the audio that came out this morning? AJ on a Twitch stream last night with some pretty colorful stuff to say about how he's feeling and his role in the offense.
Yeah, so AJ's got to be the most interesting athlete I've covered in my time covering the Eagles, because when you're around AJ and you're in that locker room and you cover the team the whole time he's been here, I do think he is a good teammate, and I do think he is a net positive in that locker room.
Talk to him.
But
talk to him, ESPN.
But let him finish.
Well, but there's also no question AJ does this to himself, because the AJ that I think sometimes the public is perceived him to be is, I don't think, who he truly is. But AJ is the one that sometimes also mostly creates this image of himself, right, by saying those things. So I think last night on the Twitch, it was lighthearted. I don't think it was meant to be, a shot at the team or anything like that. But with the situation AJ is in, everything he says is heightened. And when he says things like, I'd trade me in fantasy, and, this year's not been good, I agree. I think it's correct analysis. It's not been a good year for AJ. He's on pace for, 700 yards. He's been hurt. There were trade rumors. He's dealing with drama. He's right. For him, it's not been a good year. So I think he's correct. But when he says things, it gets blown up, because he's AJ Brown. And so while I do think he's a good teammate and I do think they like him in the building, I also think they're probably getting tired of always having to answer questions about him.
I'm sure they are. I'd be tired of it too. Let's play a clip. Nick Sirianni at his press conference just a little while ago. Elliot, you attended this one. Let's hear Sirianni being asked questions about AJ Brown, and you can hear the frustration here. Here's Nick Sirianni.
When you say it was kind of business as usual with AJ, I mean, his latest comments, made it seem like it's not business as usual. How do you kind of reconcile that with him?
Yeah, guys, I'm close to being done answering these questions with this. He's working hard, and he is a big part of this game plan, and it'll be a big part of the game plan going forward. And he's working like crazy when he's here, and I'm excited to have him.
Mm. Elliot, what was the tone in that press conference there? Because it certainly sounds like Nick's kind of had it up to here with the same stuff.
So I think context is important for this. There was a lot of questions that Nick answered that I think he was tired of answering about the fourth down decision. And I think that the press conference reached a tense level because of another topic. And then when another AJ question came in, I think he was already kind of at his wit's end, and that's how he answered it. Now, I agree that the saying you're almost done talking about it does not sound good, and I do think they are tired of talking about the AJ thing. I mean, they were asked, you know, Nick was asked about it this morning when he was on the morning show. He was asked about it today. He's been asked about it a ton. Like, I definitely think he is tired of talking about it, but what I think the difference is I think they're tired of the media distraction it creates. I don't think it has reached a point where they are tired of AJ, if that makes sense.
That does make sense to me. Yeah, they're not tired of him the person, but they're tired of answering the questions about him, Hugh. But he creates the questions about him.
Yeah, again, playing a grape soda dog and let him do his thing. I mean, he made it clear, too, though, Joe and Elliot, that he's a part of the game plan, and he's a big part of the game plan this week. I think that's something that is important in this context of the conversation. Like, he's a big part of the game plan, and AJ's probably been a big part of the game plan. I'm recklessly speculating now.
Here we go.
He's probably been a big part of the game plan for weeks.
Sure,
but it ain't worked out like that. So
I can change that reckless speculation. I can say with certainty that since AJ has arrived on the Eagles, he is the biggest part of the game plan when it comes to passing every single week. There is not a player on the Eagles that they try to get the ball to more in the passing game than A.J. Brown. Now, the reality is this year that has not happened, and that is everybody. That's on A.J., that's on Jalen, that's on the coaching staff, it's on the offensive. Like, it's on everybody, right? But, they are trying to get A.J. the ball. Nick said also in this press conference, I don't know if you guys played it live or if you heard this, but that on the Devontae touchdown, that the play that, you know, the game-winning touchdown, that play was to A.J. Brown. That was a called play for A.J., but because of where the safety went and the safety covered A.J., it left Devontae one-on-one, and that resulted in the touchdown. And that's something A.J. said after the game. Now, that's the tough thing, I think, where A.J. is that he is still impacting the game in a big way, but it is not resulting in plays where he gets the ball. Like, I think that Devontae touchdown, he's fine with. I think the bigger issue is when there is a play where he feels he's open and the ball doesn't come to him, I think that's where the frustration comes in.
But my frustration is, Elliot, and you say this all the time, and you're right, like, the way you frame it, they win all the time. Like, this is all about him. Nothing is about the team, because there is no evidence that this matters, that he needs the football for them to win. That's out now. I mean, maybe that was 3 years ago. That's not the Eagles of the last... If you go back to late December last year, whether it's a knee or whatever he was dealing with, late December, through the playoffs, through this season, other than one half against the Rams, his production has zero correlation to winning. So this idea that he needs the ball for them to win, we've gone a long time since that actually is accurate.
So I agree with part of what you're saying, but I think where I definitely know where I disagree, and I think where maybe you're getting it wrong, is just because he's not getting the ball doesn't mean he's not impacting the game in a big way. So, like, if you took AJ off the team, right, maybe Devontae is not open for that game-winning touchdown. Maybe Goddard doesn't have all these touchdowns. Like, AJ is still the number one priority for the opposing defense in the passing game, right? Obviously, with the running game and Saquon, that's different. But in the passing game, he's still the number one priority. So even though the stats, I agree with you, if you look at his production this year and they're 7-2 and all that, like, the stats, I agree, don't paint a picture of him being important. But I think the importance he brings to the team is the attention he pulls from the defense and allows other players to make plays.
That's fine. I mean, we don't have to argue about that. I see your point on that. But they're winning. So whether or not he's catching the ball or he's causing the
But they're winning in part because of AJ. Like, if AJ was not on the field for that Devontae touchdown, I don't know if Devontae's open.
So, yes, Elliot,
he's not happy with that role.
But he's upset. Like, I'm not upset they're winning. He's upset.
Right. I get
and they
that,
have to answer questions over. I just, like, there's no justification for him being upset, whether or not he's leading the team in receiving and they're winning, or he's causing he's a decoy and they're winning. They're winning. The bottom line is they're winning, and he's not happy.
But I also think we have to stop living in this fantasy world where we want every player on the 53-man roster to care most about winning. That's not the reality.
No, there's only one that. No, but the reality is there's one that doesn't. One.
No. That's not the reality. The reality is there's one.
Can you point me to the Twitch stream with Saquon Barkley? Is he pissed that the offensive line hasn't blocked well this year, or is he acting like a grown up?
No, but I agree with you that there is one player on the roster who's not handling it well. That I agree with you on. But this idea that Devontae cares only about winning and AJ doesn't is not true. This idea Saquon cares more about winning than his stats, I also don't think is true. Players in the NFL want their stats. That's how they get paid. That's how they have good careers. The only player on the roster it truly benefits to win is the quarterback, because that's the only one where we put the win-loss record on him. So I agree with you. AJ does a poor job of hiding his frustration, but I think the misconception is he's the only player that's frustrated. Devontae, now he has good production this year, also very frustrated after the Tampa Bay game where AJ posted something, right? Like, all those players want production. Dallas Goedert, you don't think Dallas has been frustrated over the last year and a half? Everybody wants to get their numbers. That
right,
is
but
true
one guy caused the scene. But one
yes,
guy caused
I agree.
The scene.
Yeah, he's no, not you, handling it well. I agree no, you, with you. But that is different than labeling him as saying he doesn't care about winning as opposed to other players on the roster.
He cares more about himself than everybody else does.
I don't think
I don't know. I can only go off of what they tell me, Elliot. Like, we can all can. Like, I can't get in their heads, but I can get in how they act and what they put out there. There might be a reason why a player this talented fell in the second round, why he didn't go to Alabama and he ended up at Ole Miss, a losing program. Why the Patriots with Bill Belichick didn't draft him. Like, this is not brand new. This might be who he is. Like, this isn't going to work long term.
It absolutely can work long term.
No, it cannot. Head coach is getting frustrated. They're 7-2. You think this is going to work long term? I mean, we're reaching a breaking point here.
It's quite literally working right now. Like, literally right now it's working. They're 7-2. They won the Super Bowl last year. They went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. AJ's upset. I agree. He doesn't, like, he's not happy with his role, right? But to say it can't work is just factually incorrect. It is quite literally working as we speak, and it is the most tense it's ever been.
The offense isn't working.
So the offense, I agree, is not playing well. It's not.
That's why he's upset.
But, yes, agreed. I agree with that. But like, that is not on AJ, right? Like, the offense is not working because AJ did a twitch last night. If you want to say it can't work with AJ as a distraction, I disagree with that, because they have won with him at being AJ. Like, he's the same guy he's been for 3 years, right? He's more upset now.
Let's unpack that, because I agree with you to an extent, but there's the scales are being tipped to me, Elliot. When he was on his game 100 plus yards every other week, then you could deal with a guy that might be a headache or annoyed or say something you don't like as a coach. Elliot, his numbers are terrible.
But you keep focusing on the numbers. That's where
that's what he's focused on.
Elliot.
No, I get that, but I'm saying that you're saying they can't win with AJ like this, and that's not true. They are winning with AJ like this.
But they're not winning because of A.J. Brown. Like, I just don't understand.
Part of why they win.
They're winning almost in spite of.
Tyler Steen's why a part of. They're all a part of why they win. They're all a part of why they win.
I agree with you. But you're saying A.J.'s not part of why they win.
No, but we've created this idea that, like, you take him off this team, they're going to fall apart. First of all, their best game this year was without him. Everyone keeps saying, Joe, you're not allowed to say it. I'm going to keep saying it. Their best game this year, he didn't play. Second.
Yeah, but come on,
he had two catches.
You know that's a small sample size.
But it happened. It happened. He had two catches for 13 yards on Monday. This idea that he has to be here, otherwise this falls apart. They can draft 10 receivers in the draft this year that have the same production as A.J. Brown. 10. Like, he doesn't produce anymore.
But I promise
you this. He doesn't produce.
I promise you this. If they could draft the best receiver in next year's draft class, right, the best one, whoever the top guy is going to be, he would not demand the attention A.J. currently demands. And that's the difference. So I agree with you.
So he's a $32 million a year decoy. That is loud.
Yes.
That's what we have?
Yes, but again, like, I'm not saying he's strictly a decoy, but you're diminishing the impact he has on the game. The game-winning touchdown was a result of AJ getting double-teamed. So you cannot tell me he did not impact that play, even though in the game book it goes down as no targets and no catch on that play. He impacted that play.
Of course, I understand that, Elliot. And everyone listening was happy on that play. There's only one person upset. Him! Like,
well,
that's the point.
to be clear, we don't know if on that play he was upset. I think AJ is upset because there are plays where he is open and he's not getting the ball. That's where I think the upset comes from. I don't think AJ is upset at the coach. I think AJ feels at times the plays are not, the ball doesn't come to him when it's supposed to come to him when he feels he's open. AJ is in that building every day. He knows the plays that are being called for him. He's in the huddle. He knows the play is called for him. And when the play is called for him and it doesn't go to him, that is not on the coaches. So I don't think he's frustrated with the coaches. I think he's frustrated when the play is not run correctly or he is perceived to be open and doesn't get the ball.
I get it. I just don't know why we why am I supposed to care that AJ's upset?
You don't have to care. I get it. Like, see, but you don't have to care. Like, I think in the building, the distraction is the media distraction. I don't think in the building that, like, Devontae and the offensive line, I don't think right. they're sick of AJ wanting the ball.
Sure, you know even better than I do, he creates the media distraction. You guys you're asking.
I 100% agree. I agree. Yeah. Look, him and Devontae feel the same way. He handles it worse than Devontae. That's the best way.
That is a fair.
You could say they're not upset with it right now. What if it leads to them force feeding AJ, and then it starts to hinder Devontae's targets, and then it's less for Saquon?
I think that's like
it's a domino
bit of a
effect.
Boogeyman argument. Like he's been here for what? This is
not
his fourth
the boogeyman
year?
Argument. You heard.
Well, I'm just saying it's been his fourth year. How many times have they forced it to him this year? They've played 9 games, and we can point to one half where we think they forced it to him. He had 3 targets in the game last week. So obviously, him being upset is not resulting in them forcing the ball to
not,
him.
Not yet.
Okay, but it's been 3.5 years. Mm. Like, when do you think this is going to start happening?
Well, hold on. It's been 3.5 years, but we have an entire year, 2023. Where a lot of the problem in the offense was them forcing the ball to A.J. Brown.
No, the biggest problem in the offense in 2023 was Jalen turned the ball over 16 times.
I didn't say the biggest. It was a huge problem in the offense, though. Force feeding the ball to A.J. Brown could also have Elliott in part led to him turning the ball over because he's force feeding it to one player too much.
AJ, I don't think forcing the ball to A.J. was maybe even a top 10 problem in the offense in 2023.
Well, that's completely absurd.
All right, Elliot. While we're having a good time, explain why you were okay with the 4th and 6 decision on Monday night.
I mean, man, we're really going to get into it. This whole thing. So I think it's pretty simple to me. On that play, there are 3 things you could do. You punt the ball, and the game is not over. You kick a field goal, and the game is not over. You try to convert the 4th down, and you do it. The game is over. Only one thing that if it works to perfection. Ends the game, right? And so I am okay sacrificing 15 yards of field position for a chance with Jalen throwing the ball to AJ or whoever, Devontae, whoever it would have been. I am okay with taking a chance to end the game right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I get that, but we're ignoring like the other parts of it. Like, there's no rule that it has to be a touchback. They could pin them at the 3-yard line on a punt.
Yeah, but if we want to do the best case scenario for every play, then the best case scenario for going for it on 4th down is they convert. So I agree.
Can I give you the worst case scenario? Jalen Hurts takes a sack, which he does very often, and they have the ball at the 50. And they're going to kick a field goal. Like, that is part of it, too. Like, it's a risk. Okay. The whole thing, everything's risk-reward, right? Everything in the NFL is. The reward there was the game is over, but you're certainly also risking other things.
Well, but I would argue that's a pretty good reward, whereas the other two things don't even offer that reward. So,
well, then why ever punt? Why ever give the ball back to the other team? Like, the reward is you keep the football, right? That's what fourth downs are in the NFL. Why ever give the ball back?
I'm not saying the reward is keeping the football. I'm saying the reward is ending the game. If AJ catches that, the game is over. Like, if we're talking about from your own 30-yard line in the first quarter, you're not winning the game there, right? So I think in that instance, you should punt. But I would also say, you know, could Jalen take a sack? Yes, Jalen could have taken a sack. They also almost had a punt blocked earlier in the game. So maybe they call a punt and it's blocked, right? I don't think we have to go into extreme scenarios. I just think it's pretty simple. If I have a chance to end the game with Jalen throwing the ball to AJ, I will take that chance.
All right, Ellie, let's end with this. Sunday, Lions.
Sunday.
First, number one seed.
Yeah,
it's a big one.
After we get past this drama.
Elliot, what are you thinking on this game Sunday? It is a big one. It's the NFC Championship game that we never got last year, that it felt like we were going to get for a few months. Your first thought on these two teams Sunday?
Well, first let me say, I love you guys and I love this debate. This has been very fun. But the second thing I would say is I think this is a matchup we've been waiting for a long time. They didn't get it last year. I think the Eagles and Lions are the clear-cut two best teams in the NFC. I think they're a class above every other team right now. I normally hate when people go, oh, it's a playoff preview or NFC preview. I think this is a legitimate NFC championship preview. So I'm excited to see how the Eagles respond. They obviously need to play better on offense to win the game. And I'm excited to see the Lions in Philadelphia and see if they can handle it. Because if the Lions come here and beat the Eagles, that obviously changes how you feel about this season moving forward. So I think it's the biggest regular season game they've played since probably the Niners in 2023.
It does have that feel. It's going to be fun. Elliot, have a great rest of the week. I'm sure it's going to be drama-filled, and we'll see you at the pregame show on Sunday.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us, as he is every single week there.
That was a nice spirited debate.
Well, I mean, we had to, right? I think it's not lost on me that Elliot just walked out of what he called a very tense press conference with Nick Sirianni. this tenseness is not coming from nowhere.
Well, I think it's a lot to unpack. And sometimes we as fans, because we love this team so much, we live in a vacuum. And it's my job on a day-to-day basis to come in here and be the voice of reason. Now, I know a lot of times, you guys don't want to hear that. That's okay. I got big shoulders. I can handle it. Y'all get mad at me.
I just burped.
Y'all send me mean and hurtful tweets and everything, but I can handle it. It's cool.
So it's about you now.
No, I'm just saying. I'm
here
for you.
We've swung this back to about you.
I'm not a hugger, but today it feels like the city needs a hug.
Yeah, I need a stiff
drink.
And
I'm here for you.
Yeah, let's go to David, who's up on WIP. What's up, David?
Hey, how are you guys doing this afternoon?
Hey, David, what's up?
Not much. Joe, you've already made my point about AJ isn't really driven by teams. It's not the team success that's going to bring him satisfaction. He is a stats guy. He wants, you know, his Hall of Fame records. That's what he's shooting for. And I have one question for Hugh and his analogy of having this drunk uncle at a picnic. You've given him his plate of food, and you've given him his drink, and you said, now you got to get ready for Detroit. What do you do with the drunk uncle?
What do you do with him? I mean, he's a part of the team. I mean, you heard Coach Sirianni. Are you going to let me finish? You want to jump in? You can have it if you want to talk. I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm driving on Route 22 out in the hills, so it cuts in and out.
Okay, yeah, but you no, no problem, no problem. But you get ready to play Detroit.
Yeah,
you ignore what's going on, and you get ready to play a football game, and he's going to be a part of it.
I think it's an interesting question, by David, because you painted the picture, right? We all thought about the uncle. Right? You give him the plate. There is an assumption, and David, good phone call on Drive Safe, that the uncle will sit down, have his food and his drink, and smile, and everyone will move on. This uncle doesn't seem to do that.
Well,
he spills his food all over the place. On Twitch.
Well, see, this is the thing. I think this is cultural because I've been at Barbie when I was younger, and say Uncle Willie. Let's use Uncle Willie because Willie's a good name. You know, when he get the wilding out, just don't pay attention, Uncle. He'll be all right. And then you say, Uncle Willie, go sit down. And, you know, just go sit down. Go sit in the corner.
I think every family has an uncle like this. And
but
you try to ignore them.
Something
but
tells
sometimes,
me Hugh is that uncle.
So, you know, but
no, not yet.
In my family, that uncle, I am actually more like you, or like your example in real life. I can ignore, like, uncomfortable conversations.
You do a great job.
I can ignore. So I smile and nod. I go get another drink. I watch the game, and I let, I'm not going to say his name, Uncle whatever, keep just yapping, right?
No, do tell.
No, I'm not going to. But my immediate family, they don't do as well. And they're upset the whole night.
But see, that's the problem.
But then I got to deal with that.
But you got it. You have to let them understand that this is just how it is. And I think most people know. I think Coach Sirianni's biggest frustration is this, is that he woke up this morning and his first, like, he knew about it. Bob probably called him.
Of course.
At like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, oh, Lord.
And why he's so tired all the time?
But he's calling him, and he's like, yeah, you know, AJ went on Twitch last night. Da, da, da. Yep, he's like, oh, Lord. And he's trying to figure out. Now he's scrambling, trying to figure out how he's going to put this fire out. And then, you know, he gets on the morning show. They ask him a question. And then he gets in the media, and he's trying to talk about Detroit.
And they're getting questions.
And he's getting peppered with questions about AJ. So he's in a situation kind of like what Coach Glenn did yesterday when he said, ask Rich Samini. The same thing. Because it's like after a while, you're just like, damn, you keep asking. But, you know, that's the media's job. They're trying to do a job. Coach Sirianni's trying to do a job. And every now and then you just get tired of answering. You know what the unfortunate thing about this, Joe, is? We got a big game coming.
A huge one. All right, 215-592-9494. That gets your boy Klondike Cates here in Newark, Delaware. Come on by. Great food, great atmosphere with the sleigh bar up. You know what it is, Hugh? Yesterday was Tuesday, but it was day after the game. So we haven't done Kiss the Baby yet this week. We got to eliminate another NFL team from playoff contention, and you could play along. All right, 215-988-1258. That is the contest line, 215-988-1258. Today's caller represents the caller team. Will be automatically entered, qualified for a prize at the end of the season. We eliminate a new team from NFL playoff contention next. Your phone calls and you people. It is a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And don't forget, the Hex truck is back, and it's better than ever. Two racers, one amazing holiday gift, the 2025 Stock Car Racer, loaded with action-packed features, including 67 animated lights, 5 realistic sounds, and a pullback motor, available exclusively at HessToyTruck.com for $49.99 with free standard shipping and batteries included.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.